all our presidents come into office looking so vigorous. And then we watch their hair grow grayer and grayer. Well, I may not be the youngest candidate in this race, but I will be the youngest woman president in the history of the United States. And one additional advantage, you won't see my hair turn white in the White House. I've been coloring it for years.
All right, someone who might tend to dare to, yeah, disagree about the first youngest woman president of the United States. Joining us now, Republican presidential candidate, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, Carly Fiorina, joining us on set to take questions this morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Good to have you on board. I think you two need to talk.
No, I'm fine. I've been positive.
I've been positive
after you, you know, did your fight with her.
Well, no, we're fine.
Saying
Carly was fine. Carly's back. Unlike a lot of candidates that I've met, they don't come back or they don't even face questions. Carly can take it and dish it out. How are you?
I'm great.
How did Hillary do yesterday?
Well, if you're a liberal Democrat, she did fine. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is a speech, a long litany of left-wing causes. I found it a deeply contradictory speech in a lot of ways. I mean, she says she wants to campaign for all Americans and then throws every Republican out there under the bus. She talked about being a champion for the middle class and then proceeds to talk about a set of energy policies that will raise energy bills for the middle class. She talked about money in politics. She's going to raise more of that money than anyone else. So, as usual, a deeply contradictory speech. But hey, it was a good launch. It was a great rally. She had a good rally in Iowa, I guess. She actually took an interview from the Des Moines Register, so we should not underestimate her.
So Jeb's going to announce today, obviously considered the front runner by many, even though he's not the front runner in many polls, going to have a lot of money, going to have a lot of institutional types behind him. Is Jeb conservative enough to be president of the United States?
Well, I think that's for voters to decide, obviously. I disagree with him on a number of issues. I think Common Core, however it started, has turned into a giant bureaucratic program emanating from the Department of Education. I disagree with him on immigration, as do many others in the party, but the voters are going to have to decide.
What's your view on immigration?
Well, I think we have to do some really basic things first. People have lost faith in government. That's why 82% of the American people now think we have a professional political class that cares more about its power, privilege, and position than doing the people's work. And let's just start with the fact that we've never secured the border under either Republicans or Democrats. This isn't rocket science.
So start by securing the border.
Yes, we absolutely have to do
that. Is there a pathway to citizenship?
Well, in my view, we also have to fix the legal immigration system, which has been broken for about 25 years now. Everyone talks about comprehensive solutions, but nobody starts with the basics. My own view is if you have come here illegally and stayed here illegally, that you don't get a path to citizenship.
What about legalized status?
Well, I think legal status is a possibility for sure. I think their children maybe can become citizens, but my own view is it isn't fair to say to people who have played by the rules, and it takes a long time to play by the rules, that, you know, it just doesn't matter.
Last time you were on, I challenged you on your credentials as they pertain to being able to attack Hillary Clinton, and we talked about that. I'm going to ask it a different way now. What do you draw from your experience and credentials that you think would make you an effective president?
Well, I understand the economy. I understand how the world works and who's in it. I know more world leaders on the stage today than anyone running, with the possible exception of Hillary Clinton, although I didn't do photo ops with them. I had private meetings with them. I understand bureaucracies and what it takes to move them, because our government is one giant, bloated, unaccountable, corrupt, inept bureaucracy now. I understand technology. I understand that guarding a server with Secret Service agents doesn't keep it from being hacked, for example. And I understand executive leadership, which is making a tough call in a tough time for which you're prepared to be held accountable. I think those things I just named are what's required to do the job of President of the United States now.
Really?
Carly, as someone who's run a major American corporation, has spent a lot of time in the private sector and knows how efficient that can be, what is it about this job of president that appeals to you, given what you've just described, this big bloated bureaucracy that you'd have to oversee? Why would you want that job?
Well, you know, I do think that we are crushing the potential of this nation now. I think human potential is the only limitless resource we have, and it's the only resource we need. And when I say crushing potential, we have tangled people's lives up in webs of dependence that have gone on for decades in this government. This bureaucracy is inept. I mean, think about it. How long has the Veterans Administration not been serving our veterans? How long has the IRS been unaccountable? This latest hack from the Chinese, we should be able to deal with that. When I chaired the advisory board at the CIA, we knew 10 years ago that the Chinese had a major strategy to hack into federal government databases. It's inept. And I believe I have a set of experiences. I understand how you move bureaucracies. I think there are a lot of politicians who maybe know how to give speeches and know how to vote, but moving a bureaucracy is a very difficult task. And I think we need to lift the weight of this government, the ineptitude of this government, off the potential of this nation for every American.
Okay, Harold has a three-part question, and he agrees with you on everything you've said. Go ahead.
You raised a lot of interesting points. Give me one example of how you would move a bureaucracy to deal with, you talked about the hacking challenge we face, and I assume, presumably, you mean in the intelligence space. Give me one tangible example.
Well, for example, we need to go to some version of zero-based budgeting. You know that all we ever talk about in appropriations hearings is the rate of increase over last year's budget. That's why every government agency has gotten bigger for the last 40-plus years, under Republicans and Democrats alike. We're not prioritizing how we spend our money. In particular, with the Chinese hacking, we need a very robust defense. We have the capability to do that, but as we've seen over and over again, when you put a vast bureaucracy that's not accountable in charge of technology, it doesn't go real well, whether it's Obamacare or pushing back against the Chinese. We need some collaboration between the private sector and the public sector to push back on those attacks. None of this is rocket science, but it does take some basic management and leadership to move these bureaucracies. We also need to go to pay for performance. By the way, these seniority systems are just terrible in the federal
government. It's so interesting. You talk to so many people that run corporations, that have run massive corporations. We were talking to Indra Nooyi, and
Pepsi.
You know, she was just basically saying, why don't they do zero-based budget?
Yes, why don't
they have to justify every dollar they spend, start over every year
from
the beginning? And if they can't justify it, they can't take taxpayers' dollars. It makes so much sense. It's not a Republican issue. That's not a conservative issue. That's just a
I know what the answer would be, and the American people would vote. But that would put pressure on the political system, Democrats and Republicans alike, to respond to the American people. They know it's common sense.
Al Hunt has a question from Washington. Al?
Yeah, Ms. Perina, would you lessen regulation of Wall Street and big banks?
Well, I think the regulation that we have of Wall Street has been wholly ineffective. So just remember that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were the cause behind the financial crisis. They haven't been reformed at all. Remember that we had 24 or 25 federal government agencies supposedly minding the store during the crisis. None of those have been reformed. And remember as well that the consequence of Dodd-Frank is 10 banks too big to fail have become 5 even bigger banks too big to fail. And meanwhile, hundreds, if not thousands, of community banks have gone out of business. That's a big problem because community banks are where small and new and family-owned businesses get their loans. Those loans are drying up, which is why we are now, one of the reasons now, we are destroying more businesses and we are creating for the first time in U.S. history. So Dodd-Frank has had a demonstrably bad impact on Wall Street, more power, not less, and on the community banking system that's been so important to the growth of this economy.
Carly Fiorina, very good to have
you
on
so
the
much.
Set.
Thank you so
Great
much.
What have you.
I been? I'm just curious, guys. What have I been saying around the set about her?
Love her.
Carly.
He does talk about CPAC constantly and how you were.
Carly, do you feel
you call
that
her
way?
Rock star there?
Rock star. I call her a rock star. Mm-hmm. I say you watch. You got to watch out for Carly Fiorina.
True.
She comes up on the set. She goes, you always say bad things about me.
I did not say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
That's what I do. I'm a politician.
I said
the worst
did.
Person I've ever met in my life, and I was shocked.
No, what I said was, you discount me and you underestimate me.
I do not
That's what I said.
That's what she said. I watched.
Do I discount her? Do I discount her?
I think she made a point. I think that she perhaps needs to make sure she's not discounted, and she went right at you and said so. So there you go, and I don't think you will now.
I don't discount you.
Carla, thank you for coming on.
You heard it here, folks.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. Have you on.
Really appreciate you coming
Still
back.
Ahead, we'll swing back down to Florida ahead of Jeb Bush's big announcement. Mark Halpern is standing by there. Morning, Joe. Back in a moment.